Robert Stark. I am joined here with Frank Sanitate. Frank is an advocate of public banking, and he recently had an op-ed in the Santa Barbara News Press. Frank, it's great talking to you.
Well, good to talk to you, Robert.
And I'm also joined here with my co-host, Sam Kevorkian.
Hey, guys.
Hello, Sam.
Hello.
Hi.
So, I've interviewed Ellen Brown from the Public Banking Institute several times. Frank, you're a member of the Public Banking Institute. Can you tell us about your background and how you became aware of this issue? Did you come from a financial background prior to that?
No, I didn't. I came from a teaching background. I taught high school for 5 years, high school English, and then worked in another place and started my own seminar company. So I've taught seminars on management, time management, communications, and that type of seminar for 40 years, actually. I just retired last year from doing that. So it more comes out of, the way I heard about public banking was I taught a seminar. I was teaching a group of lawyers in Colorado, and I had been writing a book about money, and I was looking for people who would be willing to review a chapter every few weeks. And one of the people came up to me and he said, I can't do that, but you need to read the books of Ellen Brown. And he gave me the names of the two books. And I read those, and I was just caught up by the concept, this concept of a public bank. So I looked into it, saw that she had founded this institute, and I joined it, and I've been on a steep learning curve ever since.
You did write a book called Money, Vital Unasked Questions and the Critical Answers Everyone Needs. Was this book influenced by Ellen Brown's writings, or was this prior to that?
Well, I wrote most of it prior to that, but when I read her two books, it just turned me around, and so I included, you know, several things that I had learned from her about public banking in my book. In fact, in the introduction, I said, if you can only have time to read one book about money, don't read this. Go get one of Ellen Brown's books.
So your book pretty much goes over the basic questions, like what is money, where does it come from, who owns the Fed? You're saying it's basically the same information that you would get from her work.
Well, that first part of it, I mean, my book is more of looks more into the philosophy of money and the philosophy of accumulation, and it looks at the bigger picture of how our attitudes towards money. And but with her, it's real grounding on what actually money is, and it helped me think through that question on a more of a, I would say, philosophical level, more fundamental level is maybe a better word for it.
Are you familiar with the more kind of libertarian writers like there's J. Edward Griffin, who wrote The Creature from Jekyll Island, and there's Ron Paul's writings on the Federal Reserve, and they advocate abolishing the Federal Reserve, which you talk about, but I'm not sure. I don't think they support public banking.
Yes. Well, you know, one of the things that appealed to me about Ellen's writing is that it wasn't sensational or, conspiratorial, like there's a vast conspiracy out there, and there may well be, but that kind of writing turned me off. So when I read her books, it's just quite logical and, you know, simple language, simple English. So that's what appealed to me with her writing and her concept. And it's not to destroy the Fed. I mean, you need somebody who's going to print money and issue it, and someone who's going to control the money supply. But, you know, my question is, why did we give that right to a group of private bankers who can create money and then lend it back to us and charge us interest? Really, most people don't know the Federal Reserve Bank is not a federal bank. I mean, it's not controlled by the government at all. It's owned by the big banks. And so there is an inherent conflict of interest in their desire to make money, and they're being charged by us to control the money supply. You know, not that they're crooks or anything like that. They may be, I don't know, but I don't accuse them of that. It's just the system itself doesn't work. We need the bank needs to be controlled by the people, and that part of the whole purpose of the Public Banking Institute is to create public banks. Changing the Fed is going to be a long process, you know, unless there's another cataclysmic crash and the federal government could just say, well, we're taking over and do it that way. But there is room for state public banks, county public banks, and city public banks. And there's a lot of movement in the country right now. There's maybe 8 or 10 states exploring the idea of creating a public bank. And maybe,
right now,
I
think there's one in action and one that's been implemented, which is in North Dakota. But you're saying there's states that are thinking about implementing it as well?
Yes, yes. And, you know, the North Dakota Bank is the model that I used in my my article. It was in the paper, and it was it's a wonderful model of how the bank serves the people of North Dakota. And there's a governor's race in New Jersey next year, and the Democratic candidate Phil Murphy. That's one of his main planks is to create a public bank for New Jersey. And, in one of his speeches, he said, the state of, New Jersey contributed $130 million to building infrastructure last year in Japan. And that sort of catches you by surprise. And so what happened is the big banks, big national banks control or not control, state of New Jersey lets them manage their pension fund and they pay fees for that. And that money goes to help infrastructure in Japan. So Murphy is saying, well, why don't we keep that money in New Jersey and use it for our own infrastructure? So, and the Bank of North Dakota is a model for that. They make loans only within the state, and so they support state students, state businesses, communities in the state, agriculture in the state. So it's been a very prosperous state, has one of the lowest unemployment rates, and there's all kinds of wonderful things you could read about it. If people are interested, they could just Google Bank of North Dakota and learn about that bank.
There is a whole debate in politics is primarily about how high taxes should be and how much we should spend on social programs. But public banking addresses a key issue that's basically is neglected, which is a lot of the funding is borrowed at interest from private bankers. So people talk about these massive infrastructure projects from the California high-speed rail to just the most basic things like building new schools and why they're so expensive. But that's one of the huge factors and no one talks about that.
Yes, and they're trying, what you bring to mind is Illinois is bankrupt and they have no money. Well, the truth is they have a lot of money. They have a lot of, billions of dollars in their pension funds and some other funds. And if they use just a small portion of that as capital, they could have their own bank and then they could lend out money. You know, when you go to a bank, they don't go down and say, let's check in our vault and see if we have enough. They just make the loan, and then if they don't have the enough capital for it, they buy or borrow it from the Federal Reserve Bank. And so if we had our own right, a city, a county, a state, or the country has their own right to have their own bank, then they don't have to borrow bank money at interest. And for instance, in North Dakota, school loans, I think are 2%, either 1% or 2%. But the bank can make money even at 2% because it doesn't have staff, it doesn't very few staff. It has only one branch. It doesn't have depositors. Most people think, well, public bank means the public can deposit there. It doesn't take public deposits. It's only one depositor, and that's the state of Nebraska. Nebraska, North Dakota.
The way it works is it's not so much for individuals who want to utilize it the way they would, say, Bank of America. It's primarily for government infrastructure projects.
Well, it's for whatever the state advisory board says they can do. They have an advisory board, and then three people are the run the bank are the governor, the treasurer, and the head of agriculture, and they make decisions based on what's good for the state. Bank of America makes decisions on what's good for the Bank of America. They're profit-making organizations, and their focus is to make money. And once they make money, their focus is to make more money. I mean, it's the nature of corporations. That's their focus. The nature of a state or a county is to serve the needs of the people of the state or county. So they don't have needs for high salaries. They don't have bonuses for their staff. They only have one branch. They don't have ATMs. So they have very low costs. And if they can lend out money at 2%, they still make money. Of course, they lend out at higher rates as well. But if they're doing a business or commercial loan, it's always in conjunction with one of the local community banks. So they help the local community banks and also help themselves if they charge 5 or 6% for a loan. And they have loan tables that you can look up on the computer. So bottom line, it serves the people of the community as well as helping the local banks of the community.
So your op-ed, which was published in the Santa Barbara News Press, advocates implementing a public bank here in Santa Barbara County. This was published several weeks ago. It's called Banking on Our Country. It is spelled on the Public Banking Institute website, Banking on Our Country. I guess the original one is Banking. Banking on Our County, and what have been some of the responses to that article so far?
Well, I was very amazed the next day to get an email from someone I didn't know saying that he received a copy of my article from Joan Hartman. Joan Hartman is the new chair of our county board of supervisors, and she was very intrigued by the idea and interested in it because she had already heard about this concept of public banking. And it's also, there's movement to have it happen on the state level, California state to have its own public bank. So I got in touch with her through email, and she actually sent him and the other supervisors, county supervisors, copies of it. So I was blown away. Also, she had a P.S. the next day at the Board of Supervisors meeting, our county sheriff, Bill Brown, was there, and he said, we ought to look into doing a bank, like that article in the paper yesterday said. So it had amazing influence immediately with the most influential people, the people who would actually make the decision to have a, you know, they had to vote on whether we could have a county bank.
Who is the public official who does make that final decision? Is it the county board of supervisors?
The county board of supervisors would make the decision, and I'm not clear about it myself if it would have to go before the county for a vote, or if they could actually make the decision themselves. Of course, you know, when they're going to make any public decision, there's always hearings and so on. Public can speak up about the issues that they vote on. So anyhow, bottom line, I'm not sure if it, we as a county have to vote on it, or they could do that, make that decision on their own.
It seems that, like, if banks could loan it to small businesses, if we have a huge public bank on the national level, that could help out small business owners across the country.
Well, if we had a huge public bank nationally, it would be the Federal Reserve. We'd have to make that, bring that back into the fold of the government and not have it be run by private organizations. And they could, you know, a community can do whatever it wants with its money. And that's what a community is. That's what cities do, counties do, states do, and governments do. Federal governments. So it would be very helpful to the community. A county bank, though, would only be doing its lending within the community, within the county of Santa Barbara. And so its money wouldn't go out to big banks who then loan it elsewhere. And it wouldn't be subject to the liability that big banks have. You know, there's a huge investment by the large banks in derivatives. That's what was happening during the crash of 2008. And I think the last quarter, the big banks owned $165 trillion in derivatives. Most of those are credit derivatives. So bottom line is they're betting on the credit market. Will money go up or down? And they're playing this huge, basically, casino game. And if there is something goes wrong, as it did in the subprime mortgage crash of 2008, those banks can go under, like, you know, Bear Stearns went under in that crash. It was a brokerage firm, but had a lot of the characteristics of banking. So that's why I'm enamored of public banking, because it serves the people of the local community, and it therefore has to listen to the needs of the local community.
With your article, you actually put out the statistics about how much money could be raised. Your point is that the county of Santa Barbara has a $30 million budget shortfall, and the public bank would generate $45 million annually. Through the 2% fee on the loans.
Yeah, that was actually somebody. I got a letter to the editor. Somebody pointed out that was a little bit incorrect, because banks. One story is that the banks. Well, it's not a story. It's factual, but. The way it's presented is confusing. At any rate, banks use fractional lending. So they don't just collect money and then lend that money out. They collect money and they can lend up to 9 times the amount that they have in reserve. They just have to keep 1/10 of it in reserve. And but then I found out later, in doing some more research, that there are other rules that they have to adhere to, which the Fed controls, you know, decides on those rules. They can't have more out in loans than they have in deposits. And I'm not totally clear about what that means. Those deposits are not considered as capital, but as something else. At any rate, 7-to-1 is more a better ratio to go by. And so, you know, if you could lend out 7 times what you have, and theoretically, and you're lending it at 1%, you could have 7% money, 7% coming back. If you lend it out at 5%, you could have 35% of your original money coming back to you. So that's why banks are profitable and love to keep doing what they're doing.
And one of your points about one of the benefits of the public bank, you point out that North Dakota has the lowest home foreclosure rates in the country, lowest credit card default, and lowest student loan default rates. So all these different issues. So say someone is going to take a mortgage out on a home or get a student loan, this would all be through the public bank.
Well, it differs for each of those cases. Student loans they make on their own, and they don't work through the community banks because they want to give students in North Dakota the cheapest rates they can give them, which is now the variable rate is 2 3/8%. And that can and probably will go up over the next few years, but it's still lower than a lot of the loan sharks are making those loans for. So that's students. They do that themselves. But for real estate loans, for home loans, they actually don't initiate home loans. The community banks have to do that. They do the initiating of the home loans. What the Bank of North Dakota does, will buy those loans. The banks will package them and sell them to the state bank, State of North Dakota Bank. And what that does is it gives a whole new fund of capital to the community banks, which they can go out and lend and make more loans and make more money on those loans. In the meantime, the Bank of North Dakota keeps the loans that it bought, the home loans, and it just manages those mortgage loans, you know, by collecting interest and cap principal every month, like on a regular mortgage. And they keep those loans. What that does is it keeps all the home loans in the state. So that means any interest they make is revolved through the bank back to the state in other programs. So it serves both the commercial banks and the people of the state as well.
So you're saying it wouldn't replace commercial banks, the two would coexist?
Yeah, but I'm having second thoughts about that because I have a banker who lives across the street from me, and she's president of a bank, and I need to have a conversation with her because it made me look at some of the data. The state of North Dakota has about a little bit over 750,000 people. The county of Santa Barbara has almost 500,000 people. And so we have a county that's two-thirds as large as their state. And so in our county, there are banks that are community banks or local banks, but they have a lot of branches. And so I think a lot of our community banks are quite a bit larger than the community banks of North Dakota. And so it might be somewhat competitive to those banks to have a public bank. And so I'm looking into that now and trying to research that a little bit of what are the differences, and I'm still getting more data on that.
So with the County Board of Supervisors, they're scheduled to set next year's budget on June, so this Are you talking about June of this year, which already happened? And does that mean we'd have to wait till then to address this issue and implement a public bank, or could it be done sooner?
Well, it takes a long time because they have to, even though there is a public bank already existing, they have to do due diligence on will that work for the county. And so they have to get, you know, lawyers in who know how banks are formed. One of the other glitches I ran into, I heard about, is that there's two kinds of counties in California. One is chartered counties, and the other is non-chartered counties. They have a different name for it. And there are only 14 chartered counties in California, and we're not one of them. So a chartered county can, it seems, clearly form their own bank, but there's a question of whether a non-chartered county can do that. So we need to get legal research on that. We need to get bankers to go over the numbers and see if it works. and we need to get permission from the state to charter a bank. And so we need to learn all the federal and state regulations and whether a county can do it or not. So there's a lot of research to be done beyond just getting popular people to know about it and to be in favor of it themselves. If they start talking about it now, it'll take, if we're lucky, it'll take 2 years before we have a bank.
That's a really crucial part of it, is just educating people. It's a pretty, at this point, I wouldn't say it's a new idea, because it's been around quite some time, and a lot of nations have public banks. It's not so much a new concept, but I'd say in our country, it's not something that's part of the political discourse, so I think that's definitely the first step, talking about it, or putting out op-eds, educating the public. And then you're starting to see, you made that point that there was a gubernatorial candidate in New Jersey, and one of the members of the county board of supervisors here in Santa Barbara County, who is showing interest in the idea. So I think that's sort of the first step, and then that's kind of how a lot of ideas work. Then there's that issue, educating people. But then once it gets in there, obviously there's going to be pressure from special interest, because a lot of politicians might have conflicting interests, and that's going to be a factor too. But just to kind of get things started, I think just educating the public is the most important thing.
Yeah, I agree. And with the point that you just made is probably the biggest point of, in fact, some of the opposition to Phil Murphy, who's running in New Jersey, he said North Dakota and New Jersey are different places. New Jersey has been corrupt for a long time. And there is corruption as the potential for that. And so it has to be established as at arm's length. And that has to be perfect transparency, that everybody can see what the bank is doing and how the loans are made and so on. So it takes time to set that up. If you know, you can do it in a somewhat foolproof way. North Dakota seems to be doing well at it because the board is the governor, the treasurer, and the head of agriculture. But they've been doing this since 1919, and they're, you know, they see the success of it, and they're transparent enough that they can't get away with people using those loans for their own benefits and so on, not serving the public.
Do you know of any successful examples of public banks in foreign countries?
Well, in Germany, they have what's called the Sparkassen. It's a group of banks that are United like a public bank, and they're very successful. And some of the, you know, in the research that Ellen did, they said that the some the BRICS bank, B-R-I-C-S, that they were all public at one time, but that's changing now. So that BRICS is Brazil, Russia, India, C is China, and S is South Africa. So China and Russia, part of the banking is public banking, part of it is not. And so I don't know anything about the ins and outs of that, but the concept certainly is working in other places.
Do you see any ideological divides, say, from more interest from liberals or conservatives, or do you see it as pretty much a, I mean, it makes sense, it's a practical idea no matter where you are politically, but do you see any ideological divides in support? Obviously, I mean, North Dakota is pretty much a conservative state, and we are, as a country, we are pretty divided politically. But on the other hand, I do think when it comes to local issues, people do tend to be more pragmatic. But have you seen any ideological divides?
Well, yeah, on the part, you know, I've talked to people about it, and, you know, the first word that comes out of their mouth is socialism. And so you take a label and put it on something, and that's as if you now understand it and can define it. Well, socialism, you know, there's 23 tenets to socialism. I'm just making this number up, but, and which tenet of socialism is this, are you talking about here, and how would the bank affect that? Most people, when they use labels, don't know what they're talking about. You know, even liberal and conservative, I would bet that over half of the people who call themselves one of those labels or the other couldn't define it, couldn't say, here's the essence of being a liberal, here's the essence of being conservative. They're just big generic labels that they attach to something as a way of dismissing it. So I avoid those labels and ask people what they mean when they say something. So,
right. I've seen people argue about the definition of socialism. And, like, for example, is a public fire department socialist or a public police department?
Yeah. Yeah, well, that sidetracks the discussion. Whereas if you got rid of those words and you say, do we as a community want to have a fire department? And get rid of the words, of course we do. Do we want to have a police department? Of course we do. Do we want to have good roads? Of course we do. And so that's why I just like this idea of public banking. The public itself can decide what it wants. The Bank of North Dakota funds a lot of things that if a community comes up with an idea, like one of them was daycare centers, and this one community wanted to have it, and so they made a loan to establish this community daycare center. Why? Because the people wanted it, and they're willing to pay for it, and the bank makes concessionary loans, like 1 or 2% on stuff like that. So they go around saying, what do we need? What do we want? And if a community will support it, then they'll support it financially. So it's the way societies ought to run.
We are getting close to the end of the show. Before I wrap things up, is there anything more you'd like to add about the project ongoing in Santa Barbara? And in case people in the audience are interested in finding more, what's the best way they can get in touch?
Well, there is, they can go to the Public Banking Institute that has a website, but, you know, people, I'd be happy to, I just wrote a 12-page paper that expands the article that I wrote about the ins and outs of public banking, so that, you know, even the Board of Supervisors, except for Joan, I don't think any of the rest of them even heard about this yet. And so if anybody would want that, they could just go to my, you know, email me at franksanitate@gmail.com. And it's one word. My name is Frank, and then Sanitate is Sanitate at gmail.com, and I can send people more information.
Frank Sanitate, it's been an excellent show. I'd like to thank you for being on.
Well, thanks. I appreciate your having me, and you know, the more people that hear about it, I think you're doing a great service by having had Ellen. I mean, that's a real coup for you, and I hope we can spread the idea.
And also, thanks, Sam Kevorkian.
No problem. Anytime.
Okay, well, thanks to both of you, and keep up the good work.